Good evening, everybody. It is a privilege and a pleasure to learn together. Welcome to Thursday Night Live. Thank you for coming out in the weather. Please continue to enjoy the food during the shiur. We have the Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, benching for Nisan. So I thought we would take, the plan originally was to tackle multiple minhagim of Chodesh Nisan tonight, but I got kind of stuck in Moes Chitin. The plan originally was to really address why there's no Tachanun the whole month of Nisan, which is fascinating. I just didn't want anyone to get too happy tonight. They tell a story. It wasn't verified that Rav Huttner once said that the reason a non-Jew never experienced real simcha in his life, not the simcha of Jewish simcha, because he was never in a shul on a Monday and Thursday, and after Shon Esrei, they banged on a thing, and they said, he's Gadav. For some reason, no tachanun makes people, so I don't want anyone to be too happy, so maybe we'll discuss that next week. There's Brichas HaIlanos, which starts in the month of Nisan, which is also fascinating, usually outside of Arnie and Janice Lustiger's house. There's a tree, you can take a bracha on Brichas HaIlanos. There's a minhag some people have not to have matzah from already Purim, or some people have the minhag of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If you're ready, kosher for Pesach, and having kosher for Pesach cakes with matzah meal is a big discussion, which would be a great topic for another time. But tonight, I want to talk about Moos Chitin. I've, for my whole life, literally what it means is Moos money, Chitin for wheat. As we'll see, there's Alach and Shulchan Aruch. They're supposed to give either money for wheat or actual wheat. We'll discuss that. I don't think anyone here has probably given actual wheat. Flour, maybe. If you work for Tom Shabbos and you deliver, maybe you're delivering flour. Probably not before Pesach. And I always was involved as a giver. But now that I'm in the role of distributing, giving also, but distributing, I decided it was appropriate to learn the halachos and to understand what really it is. You know, our shul, it's the chesed and the tzedakah that comes out of this shul is mind-boggling. I speak to a lot of rabbanim in different communities, and it's really remarkable. The amount of money that was distributed in Matanos of Yonim, the amount of money that in the past has been given for Maos Chitin, I'm hoping that it'll be the same. It should be more, as we'll see in a minute, is incredible. It's not just the money, the chesed. Someone just this week reached out to me and said there's a program that could set people up for meals. There's a chachma how to do it so that the people who are alone, who don't have a lot of meals, can do that in a dignified, bekavadik way. And the people who are hosting can do it in a... And this person in the shul wants to take on this whole... I mean, it's unbelievable. Mikam Chai Yisrael is true, and our shul specific. So there's Maos Chitin is just part of it. The goal tonight is I'm not making an appeal. This is not a fundraiser, though I can't promise that when you're done, you're not going to want to give more money. But that's not really the goal for tonight. It's to understand the halacha. So let's take a look at the first page of the sources. This is Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, Sholin b'hilchos Pesach, kodim l'Pesach, Shloshim Yom, the first halach in all of Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach, Chelek Hei, the Mishnah Berurah, is that we ask, we learn the halachas of Pesach before Pesach 30 days. And then adds the Ramah, Minag, Liknos Chitim, Lechalkan Laniyim, Letzarech Pesach. The Minhag, let's look at the words carefully, it's a Minhag, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's a Minhag to distribute, to buy Chitim, Chita is wheat, Lechalkan, to distribute laniyim for Pesach. It's an interesting addition of the Ramah to the Shulchan Aruch. They seemingly are not connected. Usually the Ramah is an addition. Sometimes he's disagreeing. He's adding on to a comment of the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch. Here, they seemingly have nothing to do with each other. One halakha is important, is 30 days before, learn the halakhas, and another halakha is important, is to give Maos Chitin. But why is that a addition of the Ramah? So some say because Sholem V'dorshin V'hilchos HaPesach, to learn the halachas of Pesach, whose responsibility is that?
Everybody.
That's my, okay. Primarily, it's my responsibility to teach the halachas. But don't think you're not the rabbi, you don't have to do anything. Mo's chitin. The truth is that both the congregation has to learn the halachas and the rabbi has to give mo's chitin. But that was an interesting point. I'll tell you, there's another incredible shot I saw. If you take a look, the next halacha on the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis is a noflin al pineim b'chol chodesh nisan, which literally translates as no tachanun. But one of the, I forgot where I saw this, he said that sholim hilchos ha-pesach sholshim yom, you should teach the halachos of Pesach. The rabbi's very busy. The rabbi's busy answering shilas. So if he's not doing a good job, ain't no fun al panam. Don't throw him on his face. Don't hit him over the head. Cut him some slack. He's busy with hilchos Pesach sholshim yom before. Good. So you have this halacha. You have this halacha that there's a minhag, a custom, to distribute wheat to give out to the aniyim. The Mishnah Berurah has a very strong language in source number 2. The Elaham Mish Tamtin Atzman Melitein Kamach Aniyim, those who refrain, those who don't give out the flour to the poor, Yesh Ovon Biyadam, is a sin. Which is a very strong language, because first of all, the Ramah even says it's a minhag. So it's an Ovon, it's a sin. Why so severe? Why so strict? The truth is, you can even ask, and we're going to discuss this at length, why is there this halacha for Pesach? Why is this a Pesach halacha? Why is it a Pesach halacha? The Shalosh Ragam, do you find the halacha that you should give to the poor before Sukkot? So you're going to say it's much more expensive. Now, I will tell you two things. First of all, it is more expensive, but if you're an ani and you can't afford to make a Pesach, you probably can't afford to make a Sukkot or Yontif or Shabbos. The people who can't put food on the table and need to rely on ma'os for chitim, for wheat, for flour, probably can't get through Shabbos either. So you're right, Pesach is more expensive. But why? Now, more than that, I'll just say, but give me 1 second. Is Pesach really more expensive? Yeah. I would argue it's not more expensive. Now you're going to say, I haven't been to the store shopping yet. That's not true. I have been. And what do I mean? Our tastes and our needs have changed to the point where it's much more expensive. I'm not sure in the times of the Gemara, or even 100 years ago, other than matzah, Pesach was really more expensive. What'd they have? What'd they buy? What'd they eat on Pesach? I remember speaking to my grandmother, Zichron Levracha. She had a very hard time. Soda? You're having soda? We didn't have soda. What did they eat? They ate potatoes? They ate beets? I don't know. They ate vegetables? And chicken? Wine? Okay. 4 cups of wine times 2. 8 cups of wine. 2 bottles of wine you need per person. Okay, now we need the $8 box of crackers that have 4 crackers in it and 2 of them are broken and, you know, sugar that the store charges double the price. But it is more expensive, but it's really, I'm not sure in the times of the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch, I'm not sure it was really that much more expensive.
There's a specific mitzvah to eat matzah.
Okay. So you need the flour to make the matzah. And esrog, that's, I don't know, per person, lulav and esrog are more expensive than matzah. Per person. If you have a big family and you have a lot of guests coming, then you need a lot more matzah.
Maybe it's tied into the whole idea of the way we say halachmanya on Seder night, but you talk about the bread and you invite everybody to come and have to eat.
Beautiful. Okay, so we're gonna come back to that in a little bit. We'll come back to a little bit. The source for this is the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi writes in source number 4, it's a Mishnah of Basra, that there are halachos on a community. When you have a community, the I'm not sure if it's Beis Din or the council has the ability to force the members to pay for certain things. Like we have a security fee, we have a Eruv fee, I don't think there's a mikveh fee. Some communities do. It's rooted in the Gemara. The Yerushalmi says, "Kofin oso libnos beis sha'ar videles lechatzer." That's the first thing. The Mishnah has a whole slew of things. We forced individuals to build a gate. to keep the town secure. The security, you should have had me give the appeal when you made the security fee appeal. In the end of that list, the Mishnah says, we also force people to give chitia Pesach. So it's Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has this idea that there's chitia Pesach. There's an insight that I popped into my head last night, forever in YU, and I don't know if the people who are a little bit older remember this, there was a Rav from Cleveland who was close friends with the Rav Schechter, Rav Moshe Eisenstatter. I remember when he came around collecting for Od Yosef Chai. Yeah. You remember that? So he used to always come around, he used to always say the same Dvar Torah, and it's a Vilna Gaon. If you take a look in Source 5, you have two psukim in Parshas Bo, which are right next to each other. Shivas Yamim Tochal Matzos, Ubayom HaShvi Chag LaShem, 7 days eat matzos. The next pasuk, matzos yeachel es shivas yamim. Anyone good at diktuk? What does that mean? Matzos yeachel, matzos should be eaten, will be eaten. So the Gra has three questions. Number one, why do we need two pasukim right next to each other? They say the same thing. Eat 7 days, eat matzah. Matzos should be eaten for 7 days. It's not a different parsha. Two pasukim right next to each other. There's a massive redundancy. Number two, tochal means eat. Yeachel means it's a nifal, should be eaten. So why is there a difference? Why does it say matzos, tochal matzos, eat matzos, and matzos should be eaten? And the third question, what do you see in this pasuk, which is interesting? How is matzos spelled? Well, the first time it's chaser, and the next time it's mole. This is the Vilna Gaon's three questions. Says the Gra, it's very simple. You have to eat matzos. That's the first pasuk. Shivas yamim tocha matzos. But your responsibility also is that matzah is eaten. How do you ensure that matzos are eaten? You get matzos for someone else who can't afford it. Says the Vilna Gaon, this is the source for Moos Chitin. Shivas yamim tocha matzos. You eat matzah and make sure matzah is eaten by providing the matzah for someone else. But says the Gra, when you have to eat the matzah, it's chaser. It's missing. Because you can have the basic kezias. For yourself, make sure you have the smallest amount. But when your matzah is yeachel, when you're making sure that the matzahs are eaten by someone else, make sure they have enough. Make sure they have plenty. Don't go cheap when you're dealing with someone else's matzahs. The Vilna Gaon says that's a source for Maos Chitin, which is fascinating. If you turn the page, the Mishnah Berurah is bothered by a question. The language of the Yerushalmi is that there's an obligation, but the Ramah says minhag. So is it an obligation or is it a minhag? Which one? So says the Shaar HaTzion, which is the Mishnah Berurah, take a look at the second line, the middle of the line. V'laniyus daiti efshar lomar, it appears to me, really, mi'ikra din, you have a chiyuv, give them money. And with that money, yikku ba'atzman chitim okemach l'matzah. With that money, they'll purchase wheat or flour to bake matzah. That's the chiyuv. L'hachi ka'amar d'minag l'chalek chitim. It's better not to give them money. It's better to give them actual wheat. Why? Their benefit is quicker. It's faster. Give them money. They need to take the money. Now go to the store or go, not the store, wherever they're going to go, to the farm and buy the wheat and get the flour. That's better. It's not better to give them money. So the chiyuv is to give them money. But the Shulchan Aruch says the minhag is to go deliver it, the actual goods yourself. The Mishnah Berurah says that's the minhag. The minhag is to give kemach. The poskim today say that's not true. Back then, how'd they make matzah? They actually made matzah. There was no Manischewitz. There was no Yehuda matzah. We used to get for free with ShopRite, right? I don't know what we're going to do this year. Now the amount of hashkachas and kosher matzah, it's a fortune, but it's accessible. It's accessible. Back then, they didn't. They didn't go to the store and buy matzah. They had to actually bake matzah. So it made sense. It was nicer, better to give them the actual kemach or chita. But today, the poskim say, where you're just going to go to the store, it's actually better to give them money. I saw an amazing insight, which I was mechaving to on my own, as to why you should give them wheat and not money. I took over the distributing Maoz Chitin for Rai Lubin. So certain people, he told me how much he gave them last year. So should I replicate that? Or should I give them more? I figured I have to give them more. Because
inflation.
I ran the numbers. $108 in 2000 is how much today? $218. $360 is $436. If you go back to 2014, $108 today is $239. So, says the Nitei Gavriel, the great Chassidus Posek today in Brooklyn, if the Shulchan Aruch would have said, give money, you know what happened? People would just look what they gave last year, and which is probably happening today. People, for some reason, if maybe one time we'll have a share why people give money in denominations of 18, but people are giving, whatever they're giving, and most likely they're giving the same as last year. I did not get one check for $107 or $193. It's $180. Everyone's going to give what they're able to give. But he says the reason it says to give flour and not money is because that money might get you less flour the next year if you're in a time of inflation. I thought it was a very clever explanation as to why the Shulchan Aruch says give flour and not give money, because they could actually, flour, right? Flour, that's one explanation. The Rav Nosson Gestetner, a great posek in Bnei Brak, passed away recently, in Source 12, says something amazing. Take a look in Source 12. Atam, Shomar, Shenagul, Liknos, Chitin, Daika. The reason it says to buy wheat, Yesh Lomar, the Isa of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, B'Pesach nidonin ala tvua. On Pesach we get judged on the wheat. V'lachain, nogin l'chalik davka chitin la'aniyim. The custom is to give wheat to the poor. L'ore rachamim, sheyihiyu nidonin ala tvua l'tova. We get judged on the wheat. So by you giving wheat, it's going to inspire you to daven and to draw inspiration for our being judged on wheat. V'lachein, nesinas kimcha de pischa, hu segula le parnasa. Giving kimcha de pischa, Maoz Chitin is a segula for parnasa, sha'al yedei zeh nidonin l'tova. If we get judged on the wheat, which means parnasa, food, what our bank accounts look like this year, give wheat, and that inspires us, or awakens Shemayim, to judge us favorably. That's why perhaps the Shulchan Aruch says give wheat and not to give money, but the Poskim today say it's better to give a person money. Now, why Pesach? That's what I want to talk about now. Why specifically by Pesach? So, I saw two explanations which I thought were very beautiful. First one, a little bit difficult. First one is Rav Jolti. Rav Jolti, Bezalel Jolti, was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He was born in Europe in 1920. He came to Eretz Yisrael when he was 7 and then lived until 1982. He became the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim in 1977 and tragically had a heart attack 5 years later and died at 62 years old. He has a beautiful, beautiful set of svarim called the Mishnas Yavetz. I'm forever grateful. Rav David Hirsch, who was a rabbi of mine for a year in YU, loved Rav Jolti and encouraged us and turned us on to Rav Jolti's Torah. It's very beautiful. And he says as follows. If this is a halacha of tzedaka, which I think you probably would have all said, this is a halacha of tzedaka, Maoz Chitin is tzedaka. There's Matanos Levyonim before Purim, and there's Maoz Chitin. What's this doing in Hilchos Pesach? There is a whole slew of simanim in Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya, called Hilchos tzedaka. So he writes in the second line in Source 18, we'll come back to the Rambam in a minute. L'fi zet tzarechi en etzem divrei harama, shehevi din zeh b'rei shulchos Pesach. I have a problem, he says. Why is this halacha in Hilchos Pesach? V'alo din zeh mekoma b'hilchot tzedakah. This should be a halacha in tzedakah. Sheish chiyuv laseis l'ani dei machzor. There's an obligation to give an ani that which he's missing. Asher yushlo, what he doesn't have. V'gam tzorchei Pesach alo pashenu. Pesach is just an example of something he doesn't have. But what is this doing here? He says, V'asher al-kein, chitei d'pischa, ein zeh rak chiyuv midin staka. This is not just a halach and hochot staka. Ela shu chiyuv ke'ein mas. You should boo. Ela shu chiyuv ke'ein mas. This is an obligation, like a tax. L'kaye mitzvos simchas hachag. In order for you to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas HaChag, you give Maos Chitin. What does he mean? What's Simchas HaChag? How do you fulfill Simchas HaChag? Eat meat, drink wine, buy the family presents. How does taxing us to give Maos Chitin enable us, allow us, ensure that we fulfill Simchas HaChag? You know why? Because of the Rambam. There's a famous Rambam in Halacha, Source 17. The Rambam is talking about the Samachta v'Chagecha, and you take a look in Halacha Yud Ches, in the end of the second line, he says, Kishu ochel v'shose chayav l'ha'achil l'ger l'yasom v'la'almana imshar ha'aniyim ha'amulim. The Rambam says, when you eat and drink, when you fulfill the Samachta b'chagecha, when you have your roast, you have your good bottle of wine, you're obligated, chayav, you're obligated to feed the convert, the yasom, the orphan, almana, the widow, imshar ha'ani, imha'amal, and all poor and vulnerable people. It's an obligation. Not an obligation, hilchot staka. In order for you to fulfill the Samachta b'chagecha, it's not enough to eat meat and drink wine. You have to take care of all those people. Aval misha noah, and this is perhaps one of the strongest languages of the Rambam. Aval misha noah dasos chatsero v'ochel v'shose hu bana v'ishto. Someone who locks the gate of his house and eats and drinks, he, his children, his wife, v'enu machil mashkel aniyim, and he doesn't feed and drink, give to drink to the poor, ulamari nefesh, to those who are down. Ein zu simchas mitzvah. That's not simchas mitzvah. Ella simchas kreso. It's for your stomach. It's not simchas yontif. It's because you want a good meat. You want corned beef. Is that really the simchas mitzvah? How do you know if it's the simchas mitzvah? If you're also taking care of the ani, and then it's a simchas shal mitzvah because your simcha can't be complete if there's someone else who's struggling. So says Rav Jolti, Mo's chitin is not a halacha and hilchot staka. It's halacha to make sure you fulfill the simchas b'chagecha. And he says that's why the Shulchan Aruch starts hilchos Pesach. Hilchos Pesach is not just hilchos Pesach, it's the start of all the Yom Tovim. In Shulchan Aruch, Chelak Hei, Mishnah Berurah Chelak Hei, is hilchos Pesach. After hilchos Pesach, you have hilchos Shavuos. After Shavuos, you have, there's some stuff in between, but you have Rosh Hashanah, you have Sukkot. It's not a Pesach halacha. Which is a huge kiddush, because we only do this on Pesach. That's why I think it's somewhat difficult. You don't find people making appeals before Sukkot for most, call it something else. That's why I think it's a little bit difficult. But his kiddush is, this is not a halacha in Hilchos Pesach. This is not a halacha in Matzah. This is not even a halacha in Hilchos Stuck. It's not even just for the ani. It's for you. You want to make sure that the meat you're going to eat and the wine you're going to drink throughout Pesach is simcha shal mitzvah, is v'samachta b'chagecha. Take care of that meat. Beautiful. And Michi, this goes very well with what you're saying. Pesach is the primary time for this. It's halach ma'anya. Halach ma'anya. This is what we do. This is what we do. I shouldn't say this, but I will, and don't tell him I said this. One of my boys, who might be here, but he's not here right now. He said to us, "Yeah, okay, just don't tell him I said this." He said, "We're really gonna have company for the Seder. Like it's the Seder. We should have just the family." My wife's like, "Do you not say the Haggadah? We say Kol Dichven Yesei V'Yechol. You're not gonna have people. You're not what? The whole point." So the whole point of the Seder, and there's plenty of explanations that the whole reason we do that is because it's an expression of our chayrus, or the only way we could really be free and to show Hashem that we're happy, that He took care of us, is we take care of others. It's not a halacha of tzedaka, it's a halacha allowing us to fulfill v'samachta b'chagecha. A beautiful explanation of Rajolti. I saw a second explanation, which really blew my mind. Really blew my mind. This is in a sefer called Beis Yaakov. I believe it was the Alexander of the Rebbe. He says something amazing. We know there's a chazal that when the Jewish people were leaving Mitzrayim, Hashem told Moshe, Daber na ba'azne'am, tell the people, and na means please, please, make sure you tell the people, when you're leaving, ask the Egyptians for gold and silver. Shh. Vayishalu, ish me'esh re'eyu, v'isha me'esh re'usa, every man should ask an Egyptian man, and every lady should ask an Egyptian lady, for money, gold and silver on the way out. And Chazal say that, why does Hashem have to say, na, please? Why do you have to almost beg them to do this? He says, because I don't want Avram Avinu to say, V'avadum v'inu osam ki'en behem, Hashem, you said you were going to enslave them, you did that, but they're going to go out with money, wealthy, you didn't fulfill that promise. So we're worried, so Moshe said, call Yisrael, make sure you do this, because we don't want Avram Avinu to have tainas on Hashem. Wait, Avram Avinu is going to say that to Hashem? Really? Avram Avinu is going to say to Hashem, Hashem, what happened? Where's the money? You took them out, but you didn't give them money on the way out? What does that mean? So he explains, Al Derek Drush, something very beautiful. He says there's two modes or stages in our service of Hashem. Sometimes we serve Hashem when things are going very well. And that has its challenges. Sometimes even more of a challenge. When things are going well, we tend to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Chivot Samyadi. When we're on top, when we're healthy, when we're financially successful, when everything is clicking, that's we have to serve Hashem, and then it has its challenges. Sometimes we have to serve Hashem when things are not going well. A person, lo aleinu, God forbid, has an illness, or they're poor and they can't afford, they can't live. People are sick, they're lacking something. We all have those moments, those struggles, and there's a challenge to serve Hashem in each mode. When we're on top, when things are going well, is difficult, and it's also difficult to serve Hashem when things are not going well. He explains, the Torah tells us, by Yosef HaTzadik, Vayihi Hashem es Yosef, Vayihi ich matzliach, Vayihi bebeis Adonav HaMitzri. He says that Yosef, Hashem was with him, Yosef was with Hashem when he was ish matzliach, when he was running the land and things were going well, and he also had Hashem by his side when he was bebeis Adonav HaMitzri, when he was in jail. Yosef was able to both modes, equally able to connect and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was on top and when he was on the bottom. Avram Avinu was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I put all my energy into the Jewish people. That was Avram's whole role, was chinuch, l'man asher yitzaveh, es banav es beiso acharav. Avram said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want my value system, my service of you to be in my children. They know how to serve you when things are not going well. They were just in Mitzrayim. They merited the Geula. We were on the 49th level. But they merited the Geula, Hashem. That was good. But how are they going to know how to serve you? Beruchosh Gadol. How are they going to be able to know? Hashem, they're not going to be able to do it. It's been 200 plus years on the bottom. They need to be able to serve you, Beruchosh Gadol, and that was what Avram was telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't saying to God, God, you promised them money. God, if they don't get this money, how are they going to be able to serve you that way? So says the Rebbe, very beautiful, we, if you're on the side where you're able to give, so you know what it means to serve Hashem when you have. When you could come home to a Seder and see a beautiful table set and food and meat and wine and ample matzah, You know, that means you're able. You've learned how to serve Hashem from on top. But how is the Ani going to be able to do that? The Ani has never had the opportunity to test himself or the challenge of serving Hashem when there's plenty. So Chazal said, give Maos Chitim. Give the Ani. So the Ani is in the same boat as you, so that he has plenty, so he could prove that he could also serve Hashem from both angles. So you're giving the Ani, you're giving the Maos Chitim, specifically for Pesach. Pesach's the time where we try to fulfill the Vayishalu, Ish Me'esh Re'u, the Isha Me'esh Rusah, Kli Kesef V'Klei Zav, to allow every individual to serve Hashem from a positive point as well. I thought that was very, very beautiful. The Maos Chitim, the Kimcha, the Pischa, that staka is to facilitate his service of Hashem from that point. I thought that was very beautiful. I'll just end with a couple of smaller points. How much are you supposed to give the Ani? You're supposed to just figure out how much Pesach costs? How much are you supposed to give? How much does Pesach cost? Depends how many of those crackers you're going to buy. Yeah, how much are you supposed to give him?
Enough for them to do the mitzvahs.
So, we have people here who are struggling mightily, mightily financially. Can I give them more money than they're going to need for Pesach, but are going to want to buy clothing for Pesach? Or pay doctor's bills? Is that included in Kimcha the Pischa? So, the Mishnah Berurah sounds like it's just Tzorchei HaPesach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says clothing is also Tzorchei HaPesach. And then there's an unbelievable insight that I saw in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos from the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Divrei Chaim of Tzanz. He says that if a person comes to Yontif and he has so much financial stress because of medical bills or because of rent, because of the debt, so they can't enjoy Yontif. It's not just the actual food, the actual matzah to eat. It's to enjoy Yontif. And if there's this crushing debt which is weighing on their shoulders, they can't enjoy the Yontif. So that's also included in Kimcha the Pischa in Maos Chitim, which I thought was a very interesting pshat. And the last thing I'll say is, can this come from Meiser or not? Numerous people ask that. Shaila, Matanos of Yonim can't. Matanos of Yonim is supposed to come from a separate amount than Meiser. What about Kimcha the Pischa? What about Maos Chitim? Can that be deducted from your Meiser count? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on the last page in source 20. Here's a cooler for the night. Bismanenu mutter litain over Kimcha the Pischa shagov mutzar chaniim lekras chag haPesach. Nowadays, one is allowed to give for Kimcha the Pischa that we collect for the poor. Mimos Meiser Ksafim. You can. It can't come from Meiser money. You're not allowed to get rid of an obligation from Meiser. He says there's no set amount today. Back in the time of the Gemara, they had this. They levied, they forced the community, came up with a $18, hopefully more than that, Maos Chitin amount. So then that's an obligation that can't be deducted from Meiser. But today, there's no set obligation. Everyone has to give. And you should give. The Mishnah Berurah says it's avon if you don't give. The Lahoros Nasna is the gula for Parnasa. So you should give, but how much you have to give? There's no set amount, and therefore it's not an obligation that you're trying to discharge, and therefore you could count from Maos Chitim, but points out Rabbi Yashiv, which I thought was such a good chap, a little bit can't come from Maos Chitim. So maybe a dollar. I mean, if you're keeping such track, $1 or $2, whatever, at the 25 cents, something. He says this is in source 21. But Kimcha the Pischa Yesh Lases Mashu Shalomi Kisvei Meiser Ksafim VaShaar Efsher Lases Mi Kisvei Meiser. So that's important to know for people who are careful to give a Meiser, and they gave a lot of Matanos of Yonim, and it's a lot. It's a lot. It could come from Meiser. That is important to know. So we have really two main reasons for Kimcha the Pischa. One, nothing to do with Pesach per se. It's not even a halacha and Hilchot Staka. It's not for the honey, it's for you. It's to make sure it's not Simcha's Kreso. It's not for my belly. It's real Simcha is when you can take care of others. We could go into a Pesach, we could sing V'samachta B'chagecha, knowing that it's the highest form of Simcha that we helped another person. My kash on that is then Shavuos and Sukkos should be the same thing. I don't think because you did it once, it carries for all the Yom Tovim. I don't know. And the second explanation is that we're facilitating the Ani's ability to serve Hashem from a point of strength, not just always from a point of weakness. That doesn't mean we should make ourselves weak. So we have enough struggles, but we're serving Hashem from that standpoint. So we should allow the Ani to enjoy and to serve Hashem and to pass that test, to live up to the challenge of kol chivotzim yadi, of when I had everything. So hopefully we'll fulfill Kimcha the Pischa in the most amazing way. Again, this is not an appeal, but if you want to listen to the shir before you write out a check, you could. Have a good night.